We're going to actually break something down from the trenches today of something that I think a lot of people get wrong. And I think a lot of people struggle with it. And so where I really came up with like this being a value of to others is I was at John Cheplak's ranch, KFR at the ranch, back to back. And it was all around recruiting. And what I realized is having conversations with some of the top team leaders in the country is that people struggle with how to recruit and all of that stuff, but they also struggle with, and it's not talked about as much, but they struggle, once I get someone that's interested, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do in the interview? How do I do that? And so I think we're very, very blessed in the position that we're in, Lauren, through the funnels that we've built that work really, really, really well for our business and create some organic, consistent agents that want to join us. Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry. It's given so much to me and my family. And guys, today, if you're watching on YouTube, we're back in the studio. We have a very special guest on today's episode, Lauren Pimentel, our Director of Sales for Matt Smith Real Estate Group. Lauren, welcome back.
Thank you. Always happy to be here.
Yeah, she got out of detention and she was invited back finally.
Yes. Hate being in the doghouse.
No, we've been extremely busy and we've got a lot of really amazing progress and momentum in our business, and a lot of it's because of Lauren and the amazing work that she does. And so we're going to actually break something down from the trenches today of something that I think a lot of people get wrong. And I think a lot of people struggle with it. And so where I really came up with like this being a value of to others is I was at John Cheplak's ranch, KFR at the ranch, back to back, and it was all around recruiting. And what I realized is having conversations with some of the top team leaders in the country is that people struggle with how to recruit and all of that stuff, but they also struggle with, and it's not talked about as much, but they struggle, once I get someone that's interested, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do in the interview? How do I do that? And so I think we're very, very blessed in the position that we're in, Lauren, through the funnels that we've built that work really, really, really well for our business and create some organic, consistent agents that want to join us. We've actually sold those to a lot of teams that are really crushing it with those as well. And that's kind of brought up that we've kind of adjusted how we do interviews because of how we do our funnels. And so first, let's start about talk about the psychology from your perspective. How important is it when you're onboarding an agent for you to nail the interview? How important is it?
For me, the most important thing is just setting up expectations. Anytime you're coaching someone, anytime you're bringing them into the environment and you want to measure, okay, how is the activity? How did you set that up from the interview? And it all starts with, what did that conversation look like?
Yeah.
And were they committed and were they bought in? And did they have clarity around what was expected of them? And so first, I think it starts there. And for the director of sales or sales manager, the psychology for them is you have to understand that your picker is broken. I think for years we did it wrong, where we wanted everyone to check all the boxes, and you have to find that fine balance of making sure you're bringing people in who have clarity and an understanding of your expectations, and also realizing the people that you thought were going to do amazing, they may not do amazing, and the people who thought we're going to be duds end up being amazing. So
some of them go from duds to studs, right?
They do.
And so your picker is broken. I love that. And it's something I share with a lot of my coaching clients and we've talked about over and over and over, and we've experienced, right? And it's, yeah. And where I think that's important is that sometimes we can be judgmental, right? Yeah. And here's one of the limiting beliefs that I think a lot of team leaders have that I've seen is they will hear or ask about the funnels that we run. And the majority of our funnels are recruiting funnels are focused on getting new agents. And I hear agents, or I hear team leaders all the time saying, well, I don't want new agents. I only want experienced agents. To me, that's like a team leader saying that I don't want part-time agents. I only want full-time agents.
Yeah.
And I think that they're answering a question that they don't fully understand. And here's what I mean by that is that if you say, I literally had a conversation with one of my coaching clients today about, and she shared with me and she reflected, she said, one of the most impactful conversations we had 3 weeks ago And she just brought it back up as she's recruiting is she's like, I realized that I was missing an opportunity for a lot of quote unquote part-time agents because my mindset was broken because I judged them. And because they said they were part-time, I didn't ask any questions and I gave up. And so the question I asked her, and we do this really, really well. And we're flexible with this to give people an opportunity. Right. And what I asked her was, well, what to you makes a part-time agent? What makes a full-time agent? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I don't, what do you mean? Like they say they're full-time or part-time. I said, awesome. But what does their activity look like? Is it what they identify as or what their activities that they do? Which one is more important? And then I asked her another question. And I think this is for other people to really understand depth of this is how many of your agents right now on your roster are actually working 40 hours a week? How many? And she's like, maybe a quarter of them.
Yeah.
I said, so 75% of your roster is already part-time. What are you worried about? And it was just like a light bulb for her. And so what we really focused in on, what we'll talk about today, is setting proper expectations in the interview. And so I think that's clarity is kindness. And so if you're unclear, you're unkind. And I think a lot of times that what Lauren referenced is any time in an agent relationship, if you can go back to a conversation that you have a disagreement, an agent's frustrated, an agent's underperforming, their expectations were not met. Their frustrations, first and foremost, are because of unmet expectations.
Yeah.
And so where can you go back to, and can you just go revisit what you said in the interview? Because that's where you set those expectations. And I think we don't set the proper expectations. And what happens is most team leaders, they get antsy and excited, like a new agent getting their first contract. They get so excited that they don't follow the process and they go crazy. And they're excited and they're feature dumping and they're all the benefits and they're excited to get someone to join. And they're like, hey, come join tomorrow. And they don't set the proper expectations. They don't give them clarity on what's expected of them. And they don't set the agents they're bringing in up for success because they haven't built a sustainable, repeatable process to onboard agents into their organization. And so I would love for you to kind of unpack what lessons we have learned there and what we kind of do so that others can maybe model it.
Yeah, I think one, the biggest lesson was interviewing people on a one-on-one basis. And whenever I was reflecting on the numbers just from first quarter, I had almost doubled my interviews in the first quarter than what I did in 2024 because I wanted to make sure I was bringing in the right people and I wanted to make sure that I was focusing on them checking the list of who we were looking for.
Yeah.
And so the biggest identifier is you have to, just like a lead goes through the top, middle, bottom funnel, your recruits do the same thing. And so yeah. I wasn't getting as many people into the top of the funnel and nurturing them and working them through because I was just doing a one-on-one basis. So the biggest thing was restructuring how interviews were done. Another thing too was, what systems and processes do we have in place to repeat consistently what we expect of them? And is it simple? So not only is that done in the interview, but it's also done during the nurturing process. It's also done during boot camp. It's also done during onboarding. It is a consistent message of, hey, here's what's expected of you. Here's what you can expect from us partnering in this business. And here's what we expect from you in return.
Something you said there is brilliant. And just for those that maybe didn't catch it, there's a rule that we have in our business. If it doesn't duplicate, it doesn't matter. Meaning that so many team leaders run their business. It's a business now. If you're a team leader, you have a business. It's no longer you figure it the hell out on your own. And there's an element of that. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to onboarding people, you have a responsibility to set them up for success. And so make sure you have structured. If it doesn't duplicate, it doesn't matter. And so what is your duplicatable, repeatable process? And so first and foremost, here's rule number one. You need to set onboarding dates. Even team leaders that have, I mean, I'm talking teams that sell 300-400 homes a year. They don't have an onboarding date for when they bring people in.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind. If you were to get a normal job anywhere else in the world, they give you a start date. But in real estate, we have a conversation, and I have a conversation with Lauren, and I'm excited for her to join. I'm like, hey, can you start tomorrow? Yeah, I'll come over. I'm not ready for her. She's not ready for me. There's no expectations. And so we need a process. And Lauren mentioned interviewing in groups, so I'm kind of skipping ahead. But it's the same process. You onboard in groups. It's easier to do. It's easier to onboard 10 than it is one. It really is.
And not only that, but it is different whenever you have agents. What I love is the culture and the relationships that they build with people also starting the same time that they do. And so there's a difference. They're not as comfortable to lean on a seasoned agent or an agent who's been on here. It's easier for them to lean on the person who's in the same situation as they are.
Yeah.
And so whenever they may be feeling down, they may be feeling demotivated, they may be feeling overwhelmed, they have that person to lean on. And for our onboarding classes, I can tell you what all of our dates are until the end of the year. We have those planned out because as I'm doing those nurturing calls, hey, if we, for example, do you plan on having your license completed the first week prior to onboarding? So for example, our next class is July 7th. Will you be licensed the week prior so that we can get you rolling? If not, again, we onboard once a month. That's something that we cover in the interview. So if that's not the case, then your next date that you're looking at is the second Monday in August.
And there's a couple things we can use that to our advantage. And AJ, just for the camera's sake, you can use the middle one instead of just going back to these two. It's a better shot. So Lauren, I think the did you just move the mic? Uh-oh.
It's so weird being right here.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So Lauren, talked about, what'd you say again?
About onboarding once a month and then having the groups of people.
So, and I think we also can use that to our advantage, right? So if we're always hiring people, that means there's no urgency. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a deadline for people that want to get in your organization, the people that are serious, they'll get their shit together and they'll want to join on the date or they're waiting 30 days. You pick.
Yeah.
And again, there are exceptions to every rule. So for the Karens out there, like if someone wants to come a week after onboarding class and wants to join in, they're a good fit. They can come in the organization. They can shadow. They can participate, but they're still going to boot camp.
Correct. And like for us, we have several new agents that are going to be shadowing people next week, even though our onboarding class doesn't start till July 7th. It gets them in the culture, gets them in the environment, gets them the experience of watching other people do things. I think it's easier to bring people in to be more adjusted whenever they are a licensed agent to help them get traction, make that transition smoother from one brokerage or one team to another. But again, still getting them into the boot camp of, hey, we want you to go ahead and get started. We don't want to hinder that. But again, we want to make sure we're setting you up for success, because one reason why people join us is because they know they can win with us. And they win with us because of our proven systems, because of our proven processes. Where you get that foundation is in boot camp.
Yep.
So
I want to go back a little bit. And boot camp's a whole nother topic. Maybe we do another podcast on that. Mm-hmm. We just redefined that again, and it's working really, really well. You're crushing it with that. But one of the things that I really wanted to focus on here is I think that we have kind of redefined the recruiting interview. Redefining the recruiting interview. I think so many people don't even know where to start, don't know what to say, don't know how to get them in the interview. Like they set a recruiting appointment and then they freak out and they call me and they're like, Matt, I know you said recruiting is important because I'm coaching these people. Like, what do I say? And so I think that we have a very unique approach of handling that. And I think there's some principles and some tactics we can apply, but, let me go principle first of number one, if you're a team leader listening, you already recruit. So you better start treating it like a business. If you're not treating recruiting like a business, you're missing the mark. Maybe another episode we'll talk about that, but I'm just telling you that's the highest dollar productive activity you can do in your business, period, bar none. You can either focus all your time on transactions or you can focus on the people that do the transactions. And when you made the transition over to being a team leader, you're no longer in the transaction business, you're in the people business. Human development, human resource, human attraction business. Start acting like it. I'll get off my soapbox there. but point being is that as you're focusing on that and you like it's like an agent that sets an appointment and they're like, uh-oh, now what? Like, I think team leaders struggle with that. And so what advice would you give them of like psychologically of I have a recruiting interview, where do I even start?
I think for us with how we've structured the interviews, what's been really helpful is I want to give them an idea of them visioning themselves partnering with us in real estate and what that looks like. Because at the end of the day, if it's what's, if they feel it's what's in the best interest for them, it's going to make financial sense. It's going to be a good fit for them. They're going to want to join. In the same time, I want to balance, okay, now I don't want to set them up for failure, but I want to be honest and transparent, and I don't want to make it all rainbows and sunshine.
Huge.
And something that we've learned from John Sheplak is with people, you know, you have to do that hug, punch method. And I've brought that into the interview of, you know, this is what our culture, this is what our environment, here's an overview of our core values and our systems. But what's even better than that is what happens whenever you truly lean into those systems and processes. And here's our agents who are winning at high levels by just doing simple things. It's not going to be easy, but it is simple. And when people are able to be vulnerable and take a step back and reflect on and visualize what their life will look like a year and a half into partnering with our team, I feel like that's where the light bulb goes off. And that's what help drives them into influencing them into taking the next step of buying their classes, committing to the team, et cetera.
Really, really good. And so there's a couple things I want to highlight. Is number one, we're giving them permission to dream. Mm-hmm. I think too many people give up on their dreams. And I actually made a post on this, I think yesterday, after our Sheplak call. I had some reflection on just the inspiration that he's been in my life for what he's going through with his daughter, of like just not giving up and like not settling for I've made it, because you never know what's happening. Yeah. And one of the things that is like in principle in me is that I'm a girl dad. I have a freaking teenager now. I can't believe it. And that's best job on the planet is being a dad. And one of the things that's important to me is that I want to instill belief and allow my girls to dream. And I want them to dream big, and anything's possible. I believe that in my own life, but I want them, more importantly, I want them to believe that in their life. And so I think most parents fundamentally want their kids to dream big. But what if your kid looked at you and said, you keep talking to me about dreaming big. When did you give up on your dreams?
Yeah.
Because I think most of us do. And I don't think that we have that conversation with ourselves, and it's something that we hide from. And I think one of the things that makes our organization unique, even in the interview, we give them permission to dream. Another thing on that is that, and just, I don't know, it's just top of mind for me, so I'm going to share it, is I ended that post with most people, speaking of dreams, most people in life say that they would take a bullet for their kids. I'd die for my kids. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But would you live for them? Because I think that's the harder choice.
Yeah.
And you are either the example or you're the warning. And most lessons in life are caught, not taught. I learned that from Ed Milet. And he says that your kids are going to figure you out someday. And if your kids knew how you talk to yourself and how you gave up on your dreams, would they want to pursue theirs? And so I'm committed to living a life of, if it scares me, I probably that's probably what I need to be doing. And that's why I'm still scared to death every day for like what I get the privilege to do. But it's just really, really important that I think for me and fundamentally in organizations or bringing people in, we are first and foremost a personal development company. We just happen to sell real estate. And so if we can connect with a human and we can give them that hope and the inspiration and give them permission to dream again, that's step one for me. Second thing that I think is important is give them an experience of what it's going to be like when they join before they join. Give them an experience of what it's going to be like when they join before they join. And that's recruiting in a nutshell, but that even is in the interview.
Yeah.
And so that's through stories, that's through dreaming, that's through also the next step is here's the truth. And here's the things that most people, there's the realities of real estate is what I call it, right? And it's the And for like context, part of the journey that Lauren will unpack for us as she takes them through that she does brilliantly well is that almost like sweep the rug out from underneath them. She allows them to dream big, gives them permission, tells their other success stories. Here's what's possible in this career. It's really amazing. You can do all these things, but most people won't. And it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be harder than you can ever imagine. It's going to require this, this, and this. And we literally give people permission in the group interview to just like bounce out and leave. How many people leave in that moment?
I don't know if it's because I switch things up, but I would say at least one person would leave most of the time. But I feel like people have been holding on longer. And one of the things that I've changed is whenever we're talking about the reason why we all work is to fund having an amazing and a beautiful life. The purpose of
business is to fund a great life.
Yeah. And so I don't know if implementing that has helped, but most of the time I went through a period where I was getting at least one person to fall off.
I think it's a great thing if people leave.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, and for me, it's like, okay, they realized it wasn't a good fit. I will still check in with them afterward, just to make sure there's no connection.
I want to go deeper on that. And here's what, and it's not like I get like this adrenaline rush of, oh, I scared people away. But the reality is real estate's not for everyone. And some of us are recovering people pleasers and we want to make everyone happy. Here's the truth. You can't.
Yeah.
And so which is better, them realizing in the interview before they even go through the sacrifices to join your organization and go through the pain and misery that it would be for them to realize 6 months later they're not cut out for it? I want them to know before they even join, oh, this isn't for me. I'm out.
Yeah.
Cool. That doesn't make you wrong. Go find a different career path.
Yeah. And so during the interview, you know, we're giving that space for them to dream big. We're explaining and going
over. Yeah, can you kind of, like I gave an overview, can you kind of go more in depth on like what you cover in the interview? I know you got like slides and a presentation. Like you treat it like a listing presentation.
Oh, 1,000%. Just like we're meeting with a buyer, a seller, as the recruiter, my hot clients, my nurturers, my hots, my warms are potential agents.
Yep.
And so I have my list of people that I know I need to reach out to.
I want to unpack that really quickly, go deeper. What she just said is just like if you, because Lauren was a, and she was bragging on this earlier today, at your peak, you had how many pendings?
At my peak, I think the highest was 22 or 23.
And she clarified she hasn't hit her peak yet. So, but when she was, before she was director of sales and she was one of our top producing agents year after year, she had 22 pendings at one time. And so what she has done is we, again, like I said, treat recruiting like a business. So we have recreated what Lauren did for her listing and buyer business, and we put it in the recruiting business. And so she has A follow-up, she has B follow-up, she has C follow-up, she has a hot list, she had like everything, pre-listing process. Well, guess what? We have a pre-interview process. Everything, we just recreated it and treat it that way, and we follow up with them accordingly and treat them like it's the same process. So instead of, and I think people get stuck on this word recruiting, so let me just help with that. Every single real estate agent recruits every day. You're recruiting buyers, you're recruiting sellers. Yeah. Just change the name. Different, it's recruiting audience. Agents. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And so it's a different audience, same process.
Yeah. And so starting out, we're going over our core values and our principles, which in my opinion have led to the success that the team has had over since.
Well, it's not your opinion, that's a fact.
Right. And then I lead into the first principle that we talk about is personal responsibility. And I lean in, every single person that chose to show up to the interview is not happy with something in their life, or else they wouldn't be there. There's something that they want to change. And so how we start that out is,
do you guys see how good that was? Lauren's connecting to the human right off the bat. Like that's, you're diving into the pain that they're experiencing and why they're there. That's really good.
And that's within the first two slides, is you guys are all here because you guys want to change it. And it's not up to your spouse. It's not up to your kids. It's not up to anyone to change where you guys are at, except for you.
Yeah.
But you can't wait for change to happen. You have to go and make it happen. And so whether that's you guys pursuing real estate, which I hope it's a great fit for you, and that's what we're going to uncover today. But if you don't like something about your finances, if you don't like something about the relationships in your family, your marriage, your relationships with your kids, whatever it is you guys are unhappy about, you are the only one who can change it. No one else. I can't change it for you. No one else can.
Here's the reality. So many people are waiting for a hero, and no one's coming to save you. You have to be the hero in your own story. And I want one more principle that reminded me of. That's Lauren, that's so good, by the way. Really good. Is that I think a lot of people struggle with making a choice or a change or a decision. And we think that like we get paralysis by analysis, we're hesitant, whatever the thing may be. And I want to remind everyone, not making a choice is still a choice.
Yeah.
And so just by not making a choice, you still chose to not make a choice. And so you chose something. And so I think a lot of us get stuck in, well, if I don't make a choice, that means that I don't have to make a decision. No, that's a decision.
Yeah.
100%. And that has its own consequences.
Yeah. And so after we go over, I think that right there just gets their guard down and helps them to be open-minded and to visualize if they took the step in this direction, what does that look like? Mm. And so from there, we're going into, I like to be, and I tell them, I'm here to be honest and transparent and vulnerable with you guys starting right out, because there's a lot of people who are going to tell you that they want you to be successful. There's a lot of people who are going to tell you that you're going to make so much money, but one, they won't show you the way, and two, they're not going to be completely honest, because most of the time you're going to be competing with that person who is telling you how to do it. And a lot of people operate from a scarcity mindset, not a growth mindset.
A lot of people want you to do good just as long as it's not better than them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so diving into that, we I completely transparent about the realities and the statistics behind real estate. People are so surprised to see the failure rate. People are so surprised to see the average income. People are shocked when they learn that the majority of agents would make more money working at McDonald's. There's a lot of reality TV shows that make real estate very glamorous, and to a small percentage, it is a very glamorous lifestyle, but it comes from those people putting in the work.
Yeah.
And so I want to, my goal is to help them visualize that, but also to realize it is possible if they're willing to put in the work.
I love it. So I've had meetings all day, and I've had a couple Zooms and things with teams. And one of the things I said this morning to a team that I was Zooming into that just joined us in our Built for More community at eXp, we're just kind of like setting the tone and letting them know what the community was about. And the team leader asked me to kind of share what's working in the marketplace. And so I talked about like practicing your scripts and your dialogues, and just, you got to, if you don't practice with each other, you're practicing on your clients, they deserve better. One of the things that I said just came to me and just popped back in my head again when you mentioned McDonald's, is I said, if you don't spend the time, energy, and effort practicing these scripts that your team leader has given you, you're going to have to learn a whole new script.
what's the new script?
It's going to sound a lot like, hey, would you like fries with that? And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But I think if you realize that that's the other script you're going to be using, maybe we'll take these scripts and dialogues a little more seriously.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people fail to realize, is each path is hard. Each path is difficult.
Choose your hard.
Which one would you rather have? Do you want the living paycheck to paycheck, or do you want to sacrifice the next 2 years while you're building your pipeline and building your real estate business so that you can live a different life?
Yes.
In the future for your family? And I don't remember if it was Jesse Itzler or Ed Milet, but going on to, you know, would your kids say that you didn't work toward your dreams? But they also put it in a good way, that you not going after your dreams and you not overcoming those battles is a form of neglect for your children. The longer, and if you look at your families and your generations, your problems most of the time stem from generational curses. And if you're not willing to fight those battles, so if you're not willing to go through the hard and change your life, you're setting your children up for those same exact battles that you're going through.
So good. I think that we all have that right in our lives. And we all have things in our childhood or traumas or dramas that we're trying to adapt or overcome, or already have maybe, right? Yeah. Maybe it's a different kind that I'll leave for my kids, but I know that they won't have some of the same ones that I had, right? And so I think that, that's really good. We could do a whole podcast on that.
For sure.
Back to the interview though. That's really good. So, go back into like the tactical of like, what do you take them through? So I don't even remember where you stopped.
No. So we go into the statistics of, real estate, just so they have an overview of, man, you know, we thought that it was going to be easy. A lot of people. So some of the questions I ask them is, hey, do you think it's true or false that, people think it's easier to join us? And I used to think, yeah, it was easier. But in fact, it's actually harder whenever you join us, because a lot of places are just throwing you to the wolves. They're not guiding you. They're not showing you the path of, hey, what's expected in the markets as they come and go? Yep. What's expected of your activity? What's expected of the scripts and dialogues that you use? What's a standard in the environment? So I hit on that, and also why people join our team. And what I found, and it's because they know they can win with us.
Yeah.
So
and so I want to give a different, so that's something that I don't remember who I learned that from or heard that from the first time. We were probably at the same event because we go to a lot of these together. Mm-hmm. I think it was Kobe Sway, actually, from the Adam Bradley team, number one team in Nebraska, great leader. And he shared, and it's something that I think we've instilled from that, is that a lot of people think joining our team is going to be easier. The reality, it's not. It's going to be harder because of what you just said, is that joining real estate is not the hard part. Being successful in real estate is the hard part. And so we're not, if you're looking for the easy button, that's not us.
No.
But we are the proven button. And if you're looking for a proven process, you're looking for someone that's going to coach you and guide you and train you and give you all the tools so that you can choose to be successful, then we're the path for you. But you have to make that choice. And I think a lot of people, when they hear that, it differentiates us because everyone else wants to talk about how I'll make you successful. I used to say that. Like, what a crock of BS, right? Yeah. Like, I can't make anyone successful. I just can't. But I can facilitate the environment for them to make the choice. And that goes back to like being clear and being truthful, right? So we give them all the inspiration, the dreams, the success stories, what's possible. And then we tell them, by the way, if you join us, it's going to be harder than just joining another team. If you join another brokerage, you join someone across the street, it's going to be way easier for you.
Yeah.
But if you want to join us, it's going to be harder. But here's what you can get from it. And I think setting that tone from the beginning has been really, really beneficial for, like, as an example, we had an amazing day today in our environment that you facilitated of our 20 conversation challenge. How many conversations did we have today? 250 conversations.
Yeah, over 250.
And 29 appointments set in 4 hours today.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen if we don't bring in new people with a new hunger, new motivation, new desires. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And so leading into the next part, something that I'm completely honest and transparent about is while they are going through the licensing process, they are going to come across other team leaders. And so I lean into our value propositions as a team because not all teams are the same. Not all teams are equal. So what does our team provide that other teams do not provide? And I go into what systems we pay and provide for all of our agents so that they can have tunnel vision mm-hmm. on focusing on dollar productive activity. I don't want them to have to worry about paying for their CRM. I don't want them to have to worry about paying for additional systems. Here's what the team will provide for you. I'm leaning into our $100,000 guarantee we believe in our team so much that we are willing to put our money where our mouth is. I'm leaning into how they can get started with our team, how we're the only team in the area that helps them get into action ASAP. We want them to fail as soon as they can because we know the sooner that they start to fail, the sooner that they're going to start to win in their business. And it happens every single time.
You tell me successful real estate agent does not have the core value of grit.
Yeah.
They all have it. Every single one of you listening right now has fallen on your face and wiped yourself off and gotten back up. I told you in our boot camp when we redesigned it, I want them to fall fast and hard right on their face because I want to see if they're willing to get back up.
Yeah.
Because if they can do that in week one, it'll be smooth sailing after that.
Yeah. And it was so crazy. I will say another big difference that I didn't talk to you about since we restructured our boot camp was I believe almost everyone cried within the first 48 hours. Usually I see that in like week two where the overwhelm hits them. Overwhelm hit them a lot sooner and they got over it a lot sooner this time.
Interesting.
Than before. But not only am I telling them how our team provides value, I'm also showing them. And so, again, a lot of team leaders and brokerages will say that they want to be successful, and they may say share success stories, but they don't have any data or any proof to back it up.
Yeah.
And I'm showing those results directly from our database, directly from our system. I'm an open book whenever it comes to that. I really lean into the success of our brand new agents we have people with zero real estate experience joining our team, and the proof of our processes is in the pudding. Here's what they're accomplishing. Here's how many appointments. Here's how many closings they have. And again, as I encourage them to go interview at least two other brokerages, ask those brokerages, hey, how many appointments are your new agent setting? Hey, how much money is your average agent making? And if they can't answer that data, you're probably going to be partnering with the wrong team. But again, I'm here to be an open book.
So good. Again, I want to mirror this to all those things you're mentioning, I do in our listing presentation.
Yep.
You know what weak listing agents do? They hope and pray that they're not competing. You know what good listing agents do? Hey, I really think that you should meet with two other agents. Would you like some recommendations so you can make sure that you have the right choice?
Yeah.
And guess what happens if you do that with confidence and you deliver how Lauren delivers with our agents? Most of them don't interview other people because now they know they don't have to. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
And so I think that there's a lot of power. And even if they did and they chose someone else, cool. That was probably the best choice for them. Right? We're not the best for everyone. And we're fine with that. But we want the people that join us to actually be committed to us so that we can be committed to them. One of the languages that we kind of skipped over that we use in our organization that maybe you guys can adopt is we don't have agents, we have business partners. Mm-hmm. And so we are creating a partnership with these people and we are in business partnership with you. So I'm doing my part as your partner by doing this XYZ or ABC. And so I think there's a lot of language there that people can learn from. Back to the interview. So after you do that, I mean, you're at the point now where you're just telling them how hard it's going to be and what it's going to take, and it's not for everyone. Where do you go next?
And then I go into expectations. So those who do partner with us, again, I mentioned that when people join us, it's not easier. Is there a simple process to follow? Yes. But are you going to have to grind it out for usually a year and a half? I say a year to a year and a half is really before you start to see traction in your business as a new agent. So here's what's expected of you. Here's what the team will provide. Here's where we ask that you meet us halfway. So I go over expectations with a minimum conversations, minimum of family served every single quarter. And then, so they've kind of had that gut punch of, you know, you're going to have skin in the game. There's going to be things that, yes, you do have to pay for, but let's go into that hug. And next is that dreaming phase of, you know, we talked about what's expected, what the team will provide. Again, and I mentioned several times that the process is simple. It is just not easy. And I share real life stories of agents on our team who are, when I share usually about 8 to 10 stories, just brief overviews of here's agents that continue even 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, continue to show up and put in the work every single day. Yep. And here's some things that they never thought was possible that they're accomplishing. And I lean on those stories that we're getting new stories in our environment every single week of people saying, I never thought that this was possible, but I did it. And I share that with them as well.
And it's just really cool that we've built an environment and people that do that. It's just really cool to reflect on that. And I think that's part of our obligation is to share that with others that want it, right? And I love that the like punch hug method that you do, because I think where we went wrong in the past, and I've seen other people go wrong, is they tell them the good parts and not the real parts. And so some of the advice and coaching I've given you on this, which you've taken and ran with and made it even better, is that I want to almost talk them out of joining. I want to get them super excited, and then I almost want to dangle the carrot and pull it away. And I want them to be I don't think I can do this. And then maybe we can hug them again. But I want them to have some second thoughts, and I want them to hesitate, and I want them to really think, is this for them? And you mentioned expectations of a year and a half before they get momentum. I want to clarify what that means. We have expectations, 30, 60, 90 day expectations. And our agents, it doesn't take a year and a half for them to get a sale. What Lauren is saying, for get consistency and momentum and traction to where you feel like, all right, now I can maybe take a deep breath and not be obsessed over, I got to learn this thing of real estate. And so can you kind of tell what you mean there?
Yep. And I do articulate that on a deeper level with them. Is what I mean by that is after a year, year and a half of consistent work, not massive action 1 week, no action the next week, consistent action.
Consistency over intensity.
Yes. And usually by then you have built a pipeline. So you have people closing, you have people pending, you're bringing new people in your pipeline, you're moving people out of your pipeline and into your past client plan.
And then you almost have a conveyor belt of business.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. And so again, stressing, because a lot of agents think that they can just come in and take this massive action and they're good for 30, 45 days. And we know that is setting them up for failure. It's not setting them up for success. So whenever I set those expectations, I'm also leaning in on most of our agents who, again, come into our environment. They're consistent with their boot camp. They're consistent with onboarding. They're consistent with their commitments and accountability. They are usually having 2 to 3 pending and or close within that first 90 days. Most people, I'd say probably 90% of people have their first sale within the first 90 days because of our systems, our processes, and the action that they are taking.
Yep.
It's just that year and a half of additional sacrifices and building that pipeline.
Well, and that's where you build a sustainable business, right? It takes that consistency to do that. And so, and I also, and what if you're half wrong? What if they can do it in 6 months? I want to make it seem like it's more challenging up front so that I would rather under promise and over deliver for them.
Oh, right? Absolutely. And I almost share the example of you have to earn your evenings and your weekends as a new agent. There is a lot of grinding. It is a relationship building business. You can't just get your real estate license and people know that you're a real estate agent or people think to come to you as a real estate resource. You have to earn that over years. It's not just given to you the day that you get your license. Yeah. And so that's where that year and a half comes into play.
Yeah.
And then after that, another thing that we lean in on is we're not going to be a good business partner for everyone. And I'm not saying that you can't be successful whenever I say that. I'm just saying you may not be successful or a good fit for our culture, our environment.
We're not for everyone, and we love that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very straightforward of here's who we are looking for and here's who we are not looking for. I go into the statistics of what happens whenever you sit within 25 feet of a high performer, what happens whenever you sit within 25 feet of a low performer. And I have over 60 families counting on me to make sure I'm not bringing in people who are negative, not bringing in people who are full of excuses or have a victim mindset.
Yeah.
If that is someone that you tend to be, again, I'm not saying you can't be successful. It just more than likely won't be in our environment. And we wish you the absolute best.
Yeah. So good.
So that's where I take the next part of the interview. And then after that is, I believe, is where we do our call to action. So they've heard the good, the bad, the ugly. We've dreamed together. I've shared success stories. Now I'm ready
Lauren's
for them to take action.
Lauren's probably cried already.
No. I've grown some thick skin over the years.
Well, maybe you laughed at one of your own jokes and that caused you to cry.
Like, oh,
You have so many crying emotions. It doesn't have to be sad.
For sure. I crack myself up in every interview.
Yeah, you think you're funny.
I'm very funny. And so now it's time for them to take action. They have all committed and said that they want to change their life, not only for themselves, but for their family. So we go into sharing the QR code for signing up for real estate classes online right then and there. We recap the $100,000 guarantee, get their commitment if that's something that is of interest to them and if it would be life-changing. We're here to partner and offer that guarantee. It's not a gimmick. 1,000%, you follow our 8-step process, we will write you a check for the difference if you take the action and don't earn the income.
Yep.
Because we have not had that happen. And then again, we're ending with them taking action and giving them additional resources to the All or Nothing podcast. We want them to get in the right mindset. We want to familiarize them with the culture and the real estate industry.
Yeah, a couple tips that I'll give people with that is that you, again, going back to the psychology of it, is you want to give them an experience of what it'll be like when they join before they join.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I think we could pivot to that may be valuable is what if we had a once a month that we invite all these people that are in that process to a sales meeting and get them indoctrinated into the culture. Not just like the podcast is great, right? At least I think so. And the two people that listen every week think it is too. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Donna. His mom.
Hey, I'm number one in my mom's eyes. No, but I think there's a lot of people that listen to the show and there's a lot of people that get a lot of value. And I love that that's a resource, but I think just indoctrinating them into our culture would be even better. Right. And so if we could do that, and for those listening, like that's probably an adjustment that we'll make, to just invite them. Another thing is I think it's really, really crucial that we hit on the fact that we are doing these right now in group interviews. And I think we hit highlighted on that, but I want people to understand, why are we doing group interviews? Why do we not do one-on-one anymore? Why did we pivot?
We just were not getting enough people in the door. And a lot of people, again, say that they want to change their life. Getting their real estate license, if they're doing it online, we're finding is taking more time. People are having to keep their full-time jobs. It's a way for us to connect and change more lives on a one-to-many level. And on group or on one-on-one interviews, I was spending an hour to 2 hours, depending on how much I talked and how much the other person talked.
So time's sake, and how many people have we met with so far this year?
I have not looked at it too, but rough I would guess. Say over 150, 170.
Like 150 people plus that we have met with this year. And so how you can't do that one-on-one. And so I also, just to give people some like depth of adjust this to your business, right? But how we do it is that way. And we do, and if it's someone that's a good interview and they enter, like what we're looking for in the interview is interaction. Mm-hmm. Are they interactive? Are they showing, is their camera on in the Zoom? Like, are they answering the questions that Lauren's asking? Are they participating? And if they do all those things and they're interested, we will do a one-on-one interview, but that one-on-one interview can be 10 minutes now because we covered all the other important stuff and it was a one to many. And so it really helps protect our time, and it's a filter for the people that either aren't a good fit for us or we're not a good fit for them.
Yeah. And transparently, last year, I think in total I met with 95 people last year. We brought on like 20, 23, 24 around there, give or take. And I found myself in a position where I'm like, man, this person, like, they're so, but I need people in the door. I'm just going to pick them. Where now, I can be more selective. It's kind of like whenever you're working with buyers and sellers, you're able to choose, do I want to work with this person or do I not? And so I would say at least 1 to 2 people a week, I'm saying, hey, you're not, and I say it very nicely, but you're not a good fit for the team, but here's other ways that you can partner with us. I know. I don't know a nice way to say that online. I have a really good ChatGPT template that I use. but because I don't.
It's not you, it's me.
Yes. Yeah exactly. Yeah. So I don't. And the nice thing is because I'm meeting with so many people, I don't offer a team position to every single person that I meet.
We're not for everyone.
And it's because I have more people in the pipeline. I can see be in more the future.
And so I want to go for, I'm going to end it on this because we're running out of time here. We actually have an interview. So we got to go. I think I started this with like people have this perception of when you're bringing on new agents, you just take on anyone. We've done the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. We've used the ability to bring in new agents to be even more selective. And if you're an experienced agent and want to join us, awesome. We want you too. But guess what? You got to do the same stuff a new one's going to do or you're not a good fit for us.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to change your behaviors and your activities and you're not a good core value fit, then it doesn't matter. Going back to what Lauren said at the beginning, she said this and it was like she said it really subtly, but I want to re-highlight it, is that the key to our sustained success in our organizations are core values. Mm-hmm. And so what we are looking for first and foremost when we bring people in is, are they a good core value fit, period. Yeah. And that process Lauren just took you through, more than anything, is looking, are they a good culture fit?
Yeah. And it's not perfect by any means. The real estate industry as a whole has a high failure rate. But I love that. I'd say in the past several months, I've had at least 10 agents from our team saying, thank you so much for hiring so-and-so. They are amazing. They're such a good fit to our family.
And they make everyone else better.
Absolutely. And it's very heartfelling to know that it's not perfect, but we have way more great people coming in and that are helping improve our culture and helping our mission of changing
lives. One more
lives.
Quick tip before we go. It just popped in my head is that here's a quick, simple exercise. I'm going to leave you with a tangible, actual item that will make your recruiting interviews better. If you listen to nothing else we said, do this and it'll make your interviews better. When you are bringing new people in, quit trying to hire to your culture and start hiring to your subculture. Mm-hmm. Here's what your subculture is. Think about all the things in your environment that you wish you could change, you could improve, you could remove, you could add. What, in a perfect world, what would it look like? More activity, more contribution, more people showing up to training. What does that look like? Whiteboard it all out, write it all down. And guess what you do in your interview? You improve your environment by bringing people into a new set of expectations that fill those gaps.
Yeah.
And that's how your company always evolves and improves.
Yeah. And just real life testimony on it too. One of the core things that we changed in boot camp was having our agents hit $500 in the first week. That used to be 2 weeks. And the first time running it.
While they're doing training 8 hours a day.
Yeah, while they were doing training, our agent hit it at like 11 o'clock on Friday. So in 3.5 days, she hit 500 dials, and right then and there changed the subculture and the activity that we are trying, working on influencing our agent that, hey, the market is requiring more. We are setting agents up for failure if we are having them do the same activity and agents are still losing. Why would we
As their business partner, we're setting them up for failure if we don't adjust their expectations to what the market requires.
Yeah. And so just completing that last week, and I shared with her, hey, you are the first person to hit 500 dials in 3.5 days in any boot camp that we've ever ran. We've been doing this for several years now.
You're the new standard.
Yes. And I know it motivated her. I know it fired it up, and it helped change our boot camp of knowing what is possible while focusing on the basics of getting them up and running. Yep. And so if you think you can as a business leader, or if you think you can't, you're right. But if you are, once you are committed, once you are convicted, once you believe in those standards that you're trying to implement, I know I personally was mind blown of what we were able to get done that first week and where it's taken her business off. Now that agent, I think she's at 3 or 4 appointments and she's been with us less than, this is her day 8. So
day 8. So it's day 3 after boot camp.
Yep. Day 3 after boot camp.
So it's day 3. It's crazy. Yeah. And so like it's, I love that. Lauren, I know we got to run. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you. You're an incredible leader, and it's really cool to see you taking ownership of this role, and it's making a huge impact in people's lives. So thank you for being you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing for everyone on All or Nothing in Real Estate.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time.